Welcome to the South Carolina State Library's podcast, Library Voices SC. I'm Curtis Rogers, Communications Director, and today I'm pleased to have with us in our podcast studio, Dawn Dawson House. Dawn is the Director of Corporate Communications for the South Carolina Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, where she's responsible for communicating their business information to the media, industries, elected officials, and other public constituencies. She is also an ex officio board member of the South Carolina African American Heritage Commission and has worked to launch the Green Book of South Carolina, which is the first mobile travel guide to African American cultural sites across the state. The Green Book provides residents and visitors from around the world a user-friendly guide to discovering and celebrating enriching cultural experiences across the state of South Carolina and can be found online at greenbookofsc.com. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming back. I will go ahead and admit, we've done this before. So it was a test run.
It was a wonderful conversation.
Good. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your work at South Carolina Parks, Recreation, and Tourism.
I've been at PRT for about 28 years, and I've been doing the public relations or communications throughout that time. And right now, I am Director of Corporate Communications. So I do the press releases, the agency's website, and some social media. And I help shape and deliver the agency's voice and positions on things. I make sure my director has what he needs, and we go from there.
And like I am here, you're the official spokesperson.
That's right, I am.
So when the TV crew comes in, we've got to, you know, run to the restroom and make ourselves look beautiful.
That's right. Run to the restroom is the first thing.
Right, exactly. Get a mirror. That's what I have to do. Tell us some about the Green Book and what it is and what's its history. What is it about?
Okay. The Green Book of South Carolina, or the original Green Book. Which one are you? Both of them?
Both of them.
The Green Book of South Carolina is an online travel guide of more than 300 African-American heritage and cultural sites around South Carolina. So it's historic markers and museums and cemeteries and churches, schools, districts and sites, and cultural attractions, more than 300. And it's designed to get the tourists to see some more things in South Carolina while they're here, or to plan their trip before they get here and include these places. But we hope it adds another layer to what we think is a growing tourism market in South Carolina.
And the history of the actual book itself, you know, because there was a Green Book that was geared towards African American tourists.
That's right. We in our research we discovered that there was an earlier Negro Motorist Green Book is what it was called, and it was published during the Jim Crow era of segregation. So mm-hmm. It was published from 1936 to 1966. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there was a growing middle class of African Americans. They were becoming doctors and lawyers and architects and college professors. And the reason why is because the Great Migration from the South up to the North and to the Midwest and the West provided opportunities for African Americans that they couldn't find in the South. So they had this discretionary income, and what they did with that discretionary income is travel. That's one thing they did was travel. Mm-hmm. So one of the first places they would travel to is back down south to the family they left behind. But they knew that the trip would be perilous. So there was a postman in New York by the name of Victor Green, who pulled together a directory of gas stations, hotels, accommodations,
places. So it's named after him?
Yes, Green.
Oh, okay.
The Green
Book. I didn't
realize
that. Okay.
Right. And see, in the African American heritage community, that's a common thing. Mm-hmm. People know that. Mm-hmm. But the broader consumer market didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons why we called this the Green Book was not just to continue to appeal to the same people. We wanted to cast the net wider and get more people to understand the value and beauty and the exceptional experiences they can have at African American heritage sites. One of the reasons why Charleston is such a successful tourism destination is because they've done a good job identifying, and then after they identified, they preserved and protected and then shared their cultural assets. And that's where we're going to crawl, hopefully walk and run eventually.
Yeah. What are some of the unique aspects of the guide? What are some really notable locations or maybe sites that surprised you to find out about?
Oh, wow. Gosh, there's 300 sites. About 200 of them surprised me. But a couple of them, the Cigar Factory in Charleston, huge, beautiful brick building. It's a national historic landmark building. Right now it's used for something else, but early in the 20th century, it was a factory where women, especially a lot of African-American women, rolled cigars. And there were cigar factories all over the place.
Sure.
But in this one, the workers went on strike for fair wages, and one of the women took an old gospel hymn called I Will Overcome and started singing We Shall Overcome Someday. And that became the Civil Rights National Anthem. And I did not know the Civil Rights National Anthem had its birth in Charleston.
It is amazing. And there, you know, there's a lot of stuff about a lot of these African-American heritage sites that a lot of people have no clue about. And
right.
So it's something like this that's so important to bring those to the foreground. What are some other things? Like, I think you had mentioned there were something called Rosenwald schools.
Yes. There are Rosenwald schools still standing in South Carolina. And some of them are in ruins. Some of them are preserved and restored. But they are, they all have the same blueprint or footprint. They are schools that were built in mostly rural South Carolina to serve African Americans before we had the public school system. And they were built by, sort of partly funded by missionaries and philanthropists from the North who came down to build these schools. They all had the same footprint. They all had the same standards. They all had, the same service, but they were part of our African-American heritage, especially in rural South Carolina. So we got a lot of them standing. And we found them, we put markers there, and they are part of the Green Book.
Okay. And this whole project, it's a project of the South Carolina African-American Heritage Commission, and you as an ex officio member representing Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. How did you go about funding this, and you also hired an outside firm to create the website?
Right. So the Department of Archives and History made a budget request for the funding, and it was just enough money to get a boutique PR firm to take on the task. And we chose Flock and Rally, which is a local Columbia, South Carolina firm. And one of the reasons why we chose them was because they demonstrated to us a significant passion for history and heritage and all that South Carolina is and can be. Not just what it was, but what it can be. Thinking outside the box and everything. We thought these this team of people were innovative, progressive, and just smart. And so we hired them. And they pulled together a web developer, graphics designers, creative people, media and public relations experts, and we got the team together with the historians from the commission. We were able to pull together what I think is a pretty good product.
It really is, and when you look at it, it has a really distinct look, and I think you had mentioned something about the color scheme, and there's something, even the design is based on a certain fabric.
That's right. We spent hours talking to the whole team together about what we thought colors were or patterns were that expressed African-American culture, and not just all general African-American culture, but South Carolina African-American culture. So we began with what we thought were bold colors of Jonathan Green's images. The one that we kept bringing up over and over was a woman in a yellow dress and a swing and a yellow hat. We thought that was beautiful. So the graphics designer took all of our information and pulled together what we thought was a very good brand, which is bold colors that we think are not trendy, but attractive. Even earth tones that hinted at South Carolina's landscapes, because that's what African Americans lived off of at the end of the Civil War. Our whole Reconstruction experience was living off landscapes, whether you were in the marsh or whether you were in on a sea island, a barrier island, or in the middle of the state, you had to do that. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at kente cloth and mud cloth, and our graphics designer took shapes and patterns from that and refashioned the palmetto tree. So that is our logo mark for the brand. And one of the reasons why she wanted to make sure we included the palmetto tree is because I had told her, and everybody knew that anyway, that the palmetto tree was an iconic symbol of travel in South Carolina. And we wanted this guide to be an invitation. We wanted to be an open arms hospitality type of product to get people to come visit South Carolina.
And you mentioned Jonathan Green and his art. And for our listeners who maybe haven't been exposed to that, I definitely encourage you to Google Jonathan Green and his art so you can see the kind of the artwork he does. One of the other things that I was thinking about is to have other states done something similar to this or?
Yes, yes. When we first launched the guide last summer, we got a lot of media attention up and down the East Coast. We just got a lot of media thinking that it was a pretty innovative product, and we thought so too. Once it got into places like NBCNews.com and then some of the African American centric blogs and e-newsletters and papers up the East Coast, we started getting calls from people like the state of Maryland's African American Heritage Commission, the state of North Carolina, and the state of Georgia. They all asked, you know, the simple questions: how did you get it done? What was your basis for your information? Who did you hire? And things like that. So yeah, we got a lot of states who are interested now. Now, I have seen some blogs with cities. I think Baltimore has a good, not blogs, apps, downloadable apps. I think Baltimore has a good one, and I think Houston has a good one, but I haven't seen anything else.
So, South Carolina is an innovator.
When we did it statewide.
Yeah.
We didn't do it just Charleston and not just Richland County. We did it statewide.
Yep, because there, I looked on the map. I lived part of my life in Union, South Carolina, and I looked on the map to see what was there, and it's like, I didn't know those things were there.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, I had no idea that the AME churches, the historic ones in South Carolina, were all built during Reconstruction because of the missionaries that came from the north down to save the people who had just been released from slavery. And I didn't know that. And these sites are revered in their local communities. They are icons. And if you're in Union, you might not know about the one in Berkeley County. You may not know about the one in Jasper County.
Exactly.
And Jasper wouldn't know about yours. But we're hoping that with this book, we can raise awareness about all of them.
Yeah. And that also speaks to, what if someone in a community in South Carolina knows of an important African American heritage cultural site? How do they go about getting it added if it's not already on the Green Book website?
At the bottom of our website, there is a link to something called Suggest a New Listing or Suggest a New Site. If they click on that and they fill it out and they hit send or submit, it comes directly to me. And I share it with my historians because I don't take anybody's word for it.
Right.
When I'm serving the tourist, I'd like our information to be as clean and correct as possible, because the tourist does not have to choose South Carolina. They can choose Bermuda. They can choose Disney World. They don't have to have an experience here if they don't want one.
Exactly.
So I have to be above board. So I do get historians to vet it, and if the historical record matches what the person submitted to me, then they're in. They are in.
One of the things that jumps out at me is when we're talking about libraries and education is that there's so much primary source data. There's so much unique and interesting information. Can teachers use the website as part of maybe their curriculum in social studies or something?
Absolutely. And speaking of libraries, I do think libraries are underrated and taken for granted. And a lot of the information that we have in this Green Book would have been far more difficult to get if we did not have library systems and archive systems to help us with this information. You guys, to me, are the front line resource for things like this. In fact, if people wanted to learn more about the original Green Book, mm-hmm. the place they'd have to go to probably is a library.
Yep.
So that. But what was the question? I'm sorry.
We're talking about educators, like how they could use it in their curriculum.
Right. Okay, so we do have a teacher's guide. The African American Heritage Commission has a teacher's guide that's curriculum-based standards for visiting these sites and building lesson plans around these sites. And they're good for social studies teachers, math teachers, art teachers. We can talk about just about any subject at these sites. For example, if you were an art teacher and you were going to Dizzy Gillespie's site, you could use the Green Book to find out how to get there, and you can also use the Green Book to find other African American sites along the way that are nearby. So that's one way. But a math teacher could also use this information because there is a STEM reasons, you know, a technology, engineering, math, mm-hmm. Science reason why the sound came out of Dizzy Gillespie's horn differently when he bent it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he bent it, there's a different way the sound traveled, there's a different pitch, there's a different, measurement for how the sound works, mm-hmm. and that is a STEM lesson right there.
It's like the physics of music.
Right. Mm-hmm. So just about any site in South Carolina can meet a school teacher's curriculum standards, and the Green Book, we're asking the teachers, if they're planning field studies, to use the Green Book to get there.
Okay. One of the things that I think, you know, would be important for our listeners, since maybe they're in their car or traveling listening to this podcast episode, is can you just kind of walk us through how the website looks and maybe how people would navigate it?
Sure. And that's one thing I think I need to add to the website is a link that says how to use this website.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the things we learn as we go along, because the website's not final. It's never going to be final.
Sure.
It's going
they
to
be fluid, to be
fluid, right,
yeah.
And respond to what reality is today, and then tomorrow, and then 6 weeks from now, and 6 years from now. So in any case, what they can do, there are four ways to search on this guide. The first one is pretty standard. All websites have a search bar at the top. So go into that search bar, type in your keyword, type in your community. You can type in Union County, you can type in West Columbia, you can type in Loras. And the database is filled with keywords that searches and gives you a result for what you're looking for. So that's one way search. We've even added keywords like eras, like slavery and civil war, like Reconstruction or civil rights. We've added those, and arts and technology and science. So you can search almost any keyword and find some sites. Another way to search, there are three top buttons in the middle of the website. The first one is called a locations button. And with that locations button, if you click on that, you'll get the entire 300 and something list of sites in alphabetical order. My husband likes to look through that, mm-hmm. because he likes to read history that he hasn't necessarily known or been taught, you know, our lifelong.
Definitely.
He's finding some interesting things in that listing. The middle button is a map button. If you click on that, if you're anywhere in South Carolina and you click on that map button, the system tries to find the attractions within 25 miles of where your device is GPS located.
Mm.
So if you're in downtown Columbia, it's going to bring up a map that's 25 miles from where you're located, and it's going to pinpoint all of the African American attractions within that frame. The third way to look is through categories. We decided that some of our attractions fit neatly into categories.
Mm-hmm.
Historic sites and districts like Penn Center, mm-hmm. historic cemeteries like Randolph Cemetery here in Columbia, historic HBCUs like Benedict and Allen, cultural attractions like Pearl Friars Topiary Garden,
mm-hmm.
Markers. These are places that are marked, and the building might not necessarily be there, but there are markers there.
And there's still a story.
An amazing story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're there. And so those are the four primary ways to search.
Another thing, when we're talking about tourism especially, and, you know, people coming into South Carolina from out of state or even from out of the United States, is that a lot of these heritage sites there's an economic impact. People are, you know, if they're going to see a certain site, they're going to maybe want to stay over. They're going to want to use restaurants. So what are some of the economic impacts?
Well, we do know that 78% of people who travel in South Carolina, in the United States and into South Carolina, they visit a cultural attraction or they get engaged in some kind of heritage activity. 78%. So that's pretty huge. And with South Carolina having 14 million visitors, that's a huge chunk of people who are looking for history and heritage and culture to visit and see. Mm-hmm. We also know from studies that have been done a long time ago that cultural and heritage visitors, people who come just for that, stay longer and spend more money than people who are coming for other things. It's just that we don't have the numbers of people that do that, large numbers, but those who come, they spend about $994 per trip when the average traveler spends about $611.
So that's a big difference.
Right. So we can get more cultural travelers here, that gives us an economic impact. We also know that international travelers, especially from the UK and from Germany, are interested in South Carolina's history and heritage because of the British connection there mm-hmm. and the German connection there. Mm-hmm. And lately, we've noticed an increase in their interest in civil rights. Mm-hmm. So we have joined with Travel South USA organization, which represents 13 southeastern states, including South Carolina, okay. and are part of this new U.S. Civil Rights Trail. Uh-huh. And and they use the Green Book to find those U.S. civil rights attractions. So we know that heritage tourism is huge. It's the reason why Charleston is mm-hmm. successful is mm-hmm. because they've identified, I said this before, they've identified and then shared and preserved and protected and built an entire economy around their history and heritage. And the rest of South Carolina can do somewhat like that, maybe not the same level, but there's potential there.
Well, yeah, there's, and in fact, I think when I learned about this not too long ago at the South Carolina chapter of the International Association for Business Communicators lunch that you did your presentation at, which I was really taken with, there were some people who were throwing out additional ideas, like, you know, even people could go around and if they went to 20 different heritage sites, they could maybe, you know, get something.
Yes, yes, yes. This whole project is fluid. Mm-hmm. Any good ideas we could have, we're going to take. I love that idea. And if there's a way we can build on it, we're going to, because the whole goal is to use this to get people up and out and more aware of all the things South Carolina is. And the African-American culture of South Carolina is significant and broad, and it's high time we know about it.
Yep, definitely. And the website, I just highly recommend folks go out and see the website, and we will list the link on our podcast page. But again, it is greenbookofsc.com. And you can go there and find out a whole lot more, and you can also download an app. So it's right there for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Mm-hmm. And thank you to our listeners. You can find Library Voices SC on Podbean, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, or add us on your favorite podcast app. Our podcast website address is librarycast.podbean.com. We love hearing from our listeners, so send us your comments and suggestions for future topics. Library Voices SC is the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. Until next time, this is Curtis Rogers. Thanks for listening.